Chapter 7, and as we study the Word of God, many times we can read, we do read, and there are things that are recorded in the Word of God that, you know, even after years of reading and study, all of a sudden, one day, boom, it hits you between the eyes. And this was one of the things here, this verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. And it came about, Brother Jeff Sharp, who brings our devotions in Sunday school, he read Scripture in the 119th Psalm. It has this word in here that's going to be the center of our subject this morning. And I thought, I've read that somewhere else. In Hebrews 7 and verse 22 says, "So by so much was Jesus made a surety for a better testament." The word surety here. If you're not familiar with what surety is, in today's world, if you want to take out a loan for something, and they said, well, you need a cosigner. You need surety. You need someone to guarantee that loan in the event that you can't pay it. Well, in this case here, you know, we had a debt, or we have a debt, and there isn't any of us have any ability to meet that debt. But we have surety. And that surety is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to look at today, is the fact that Christ is our surety. He's our surety. And when I graduated high school 51 years ago, and you say some of you are, haven't even reached that age yet, I started working at AC Spark Plug. And I was driving by this car lot, and I seen this shiny 1964 Chevrolet Impala convertible. And I wanted it. And we was working about 50, 60 hours a week. I was making $2.65 an hour. Don't sound like much now, but that was tall cotton back in them days. But I went in and asked them, and they said, well, you can't get a loan. At that time, you had to be 21 to secure a loan on your own. So I went home and asked my dad, and he got kind of a strange look on his face. And he says, let me think about this. The next day he says, I will sign, and he's pointing his finger at me, but you're going to make the payments. If you don't, that car is mine. Well, I made the payments. But the loan, the car was in his name. My name was on the loan, but he was my surety. In other words, that dealership and the bank, they wanted to make sure that somebody was going to make that payment. Well, with us, we have a debt. And there's no way that we could make the payment for our debt. And Jesus Christ is that surety. As we look here again, he says, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. Now, testament here means covenant. And what covenant is he talking about? Primarily, he's talking about the Levitical covenant, that which was given Israel after they left Egypt. But if you examine the scripture, that covenant goes all the way back, I believe, to Genesis chapter 3. After the fall, when God came to Adam and Eve, and first of all, you know, when they ate of that forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened, and they seen that they were naked. And they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. But their sin was still open before God. And as God pronounced judgment upon them, and then he came down to the serpent, And he spoke, and Adam and Eve are in the audience there. It wasn't just for the serpent, it was for Adam and Eve. And when he told them that the seed of the woman would come, and that the seed of Satan would crush the heel of the seed of the woman, and in turn, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He was talking about this very covenant. There was a covenant made there at that time between Adam and Eve. There were innocent animals who gave their life. Their blood was shed. And Adam and Eve were clothed with those coats of skin. In so doing, the pattern was set forth, the picture was set forth, that there had to be blood shed for to cover our sins. And that went all the way through before the Levitical law was put in place. The Levitical law is the covenant. It's a covenant, a testament, a covenant. So we see here that by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. Why was that needed? Under the Levitical law, the covenant was made. These sacrifices, they had to be made continuously. There was a day of atonement every year when the lamb was slain and that blood was spread upon the mercy seat. And God would forbear their sin for that year. It wasn't eternally atoned, but it was a picture of this covenant here. Everyone who brought those lambs and goats and other sacrifices to the tabernacle and then the temple for the priests to offer those sacrifices, their faith was looking beyond those sacrifices. They were looking to this covenant. And we see that in Scripture also, and we'll read that here in a few moments. But under this covenant, as we look over in chapter number 9 here of the book of Hebrews for a moment, beginning in verse 11 here, he says, "But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." You see what he's telling us here? The surety in the new covenant also takes care of all those under the old covenant who brought those sacrifices looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the eternal surety for the sins of all his people, from Adam to the end of the of this world. And we look back to the cross. Well, in a sense that's right. But I think in reality we're looking to the surety of our salvation. We're looking toward him. The sin that we had has to be atoned. And to be atoned means to be covered. And to be covered means that when God doesn't see, He sees the blood, He sees the sacrifice, He sees the surety of my sins. And we'll touch later upon the totality of that surety. Surety is a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Now, twice I've had daughters who have purchased vehicles and I co-signed for them. They didn't have any credit. But I was surety to those lenders that if they failed, I'd pay. And like with my dad, with me, I made, assurance to them, you're responsible. If I have to pay, you're going to pay me. But this isn't the way with the surety of Christ. Because none of us have had or will have the ability to pay our debt. Not one of us. As surety for our sins, sin debt, He has the ability to be our surety because He had no debt of His own. He was free. No sin. And there's several scriptures we could read, but we won't. But we'll think of 1 Peter chapter 2. There was no guile found in His mouth. Not one sin was charged to His account. He was free. Yet at the same time, He had all the ability. He had all the resources to pay our debt. Under the first covenant, there was no surety. That is, in those sacrifices, there was no surety. They were a picture. They were a type. Back over in chapter 9 again in verse 7, we find here that the Bible tells us, says, "But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." We see here the problem with the old covenant, the fact that the one who made or the slew the animals and sprinkled the blood, he had a debt too. And he had no ability. He had no ability to redeem his own debt. So he had to make a sacrifice for himself and then for the people. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to make any sacrifice for himself. Yearly atonements was made for the sins of others. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. We see this in verse 22 of chapter 9 also. He says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." And those who try to work for their salvation, there's no shed blood there. They're trying to earn their redemption. They're trying to work out their debt. And we can't work out our debt. We have nothing to offer. We have no ability. Even those who may have millions of dollars in the bank, they cannot purchase their salvation. In a reality, their money is worthless with God. It has no value. But he says, "And without shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood, there's no surety. Without the proper payment, there's no surety of our debt. The old covenant, though accepted by God, Why was it accepted by God? Because he's the one who put it forth. He's the one that made the covenant with him. But it was a picture of what was to come. And that picture that was to come was settled by God in eternity. It was decreed before the foundation of the world that when the fullness of time would come, God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, what? To redeem us. To be surety for our sins. He is the surety of our sins. And when we go back into the book of John, and we think, well, we won't turn there to read it, but in John chapter 1 and verse 41, what did the apostle say there? We have found Him who is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Promised One, the One whom they were looking for from the time that God promised Adam and Eve. There would be a supreme sacrifice to pay the debt of your sins. We have found Him. Likewise, that Samaritan woman whom Jesus met at the well there and asked her, you know, to give Him a drink. What are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And He said, if you knew who was talking to you, you know, you're going to ask for living water. It's water that you never thirst again. And again, she's thinking about physical water. But He was talking about spiritual water. That which we receive through our surety. And He told her to go get her husband. She says, I have no husband. You're right, you've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. But what happened afterwards when she recognized, when she knew that He was the Christ and she repented and she believed upon Him, she went unto the other Samaritan. She says, come see a man who has told me all about myself. We're paraphrasing here some. Come and see this man. He knows all about me. He knows everything about me. Is this not the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? Is this not the surety that's been promised for our sins? And He is promised before the foundation of the world. Needing a surety means that we have no means to meet our debt. In the book of Romans in chapter number 5, and Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6, we find here the Bible tells us, He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Worked with a man one time and was quoting this verse to him. He said, well, that's just Paul, you know. Christ died before Paul was saved. So he's only talking about his debt. And I says, no, Paul's talking about all of us. Well, what do you mean? I says, well, every individual who has or shall come into this world was known of God before the foundation of the world. Our debt was known of God before the foundation of the world. And when Christ was upon the cross, when He paid our sin debt, when He became our surety there, or exercised Himself as our surety there, He took our sin debt. He died for us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ became the surety for the ungodly. And it was in time, again in time, when the gospel in my ears was preached and God took it and placed it within my heart and brought me to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, I didn't know that Christ was my surety, but I knew He was my Savior.
Amen.
And these things, you know, it's so wonderful as being saved and being able to study the Word of God and being able to hear the Word of God and God revealing these things unto us that were settled before the foundation of the world. And we learn them now that Christ is our surety. He paid my sin debt as I had no ability to pay that. Every one of us were called upon. If every one of us were called upon to meet our debt, we'd have nothing to pay. You know, and if you have ever studied any finance or anything, if somebody takes out a debt, and there are different ways in which people can borrow money, there are some contracts that are, you take out a loan for a period of time and you don't make payments, but there's a certain time that you have to pay it. And when that debt is called by whomever the lender is, if you don't have the money to pay it, you're in trouble. And if you've borrowed money against a piece of property, that becomes theirs. But when our debt was called, Christ made the payment.
Amen.
Christ made the payment. We weren't here at that time. The world didn't even know that we were going to come into this world at this time. But God knew. And is thinking of our inability. As we look in Ephesians, and these are some familiar words with us, in Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, tells us the total lack of our ability to pay that debt. In fact, in our lost condition, we didn't really care because we really didn't know we had a debt. You know, you talk to people today, and there's very few that won't admit that they at least make mistakes. But what do they do about them? They don't care. And they have no ability. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." You're dead. What can a dead person do? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're talking about spiritually dead here. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God,
Amen.
Who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Christ, our surety.
Amen.
You know, as He says here, you know, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And in that deadness in our natural self, we didn't have any hearing. You know, I've preached funerals, and people, especially those that don't have any faith, that aren't saved, they react different many times to that person who's laying in the coffin. I've seen people come up and pat the hands and kiss the corpses and talk to them like that they're alive. There's no response. And that's the way we were until our surety touched our hearts. Until He revealed Himself unto us. You know, I've heard of people that have had a debt or a need that come up. And there's been times in our life where, you know, we've had a need that would come up. And there was times, well, I went from $30,000 a year at General Motors to less than $5,000 as a missionary. Needs would come up. But thank the Lord that He met those needs.
Amen.
I was helpless, but my surety came to me. My surety. Now, when we think of Jesus as the ability, Jesus was able of His own self to satisfy God's demand of our sin. And how did He do that? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." How did He become our surety? He became our sin. He took our debt. He nailed our debt to the cross. He suffered on the cross for us. You know, many times the focus upon His suffering by this world is when the Roman soldiers planted the crown of thorns in His brow, and they beat Him with the scourge, and they plucked His beard from His face, and they drove the nails in His hands and His feet upon the cross. But that was nothing compared to the wrath of God being poured out upon Him. For 3 hours, He was my sin. And He paid the total price of my sin. He became sin for me. So when God looked upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He seen me and you there nailed to that tree. And the eternal condemnation that was due me and you and every other child of God through time upon this earth, every one of us was in Christ. And the debt, the wrath of God was poured out upon Him. And in that short time, He did for us, as our surety, what we couldn't have done in eternity in the lake of fire. He satisfied. He satisfied our debt. And it's like, I've never had this happen to me, never had to, but I've known of others, heard, seen stories where they had a mass debt and someone has gone to the bank or lending institution and said, "Here, pay it off." Paid. It's paid off. It's clear. There's no more debt. Well, this is exactly what our surety did for us. He took our sin debt. Every sin that we have ever committed and that we shall ever commit, He paid for it there. He became the surety. In we mentioned this. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and see here the totality of this sin debt or this surety. In verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." In this, you know, this is a key here to our surety. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, when Jesus became sin for us, he judged our sin in him. He judged and he accepted our surety. He's accepted. Our debt is accepted. It's accepted as being paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins, that in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The debt has been paid. We're accepted by the Heavenly Father because of our surety, because of he who paid that price. And when we think about him again upon that cross and what he endured for those 3 hours of darkness upon this earth, and when it was finished and they brought him that vinegar, and he took of that vinegar and he cried with a loud voice, "It's finished." The debt was paid. The Father was satisfied. We owe nothing because of Christ. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. The wages of sin. What are wages? You work a job, whether it's by salary or by hourly wage, whenever your payday is, whether it's once a week, every 2 weeks, or once a month, or whatever it is, when it comes to payday, the time you put in, you expect to get a paycheck. It's your wages. You've earned it. So the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means our sins deserve punishment. We owe God. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the surety of that. He became sin for us. We have no debt now because of our surety. And there's no other surety accepted by God than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can try any other means you want. You can try working for your salvation. You can try keeping, as they call them, the sacraments. Whatever you want. And it won't pay the price.
That's right.
Only Jesus Christ, our surety, can meet the price. And you know, it didn't end. Our surety didn't end there at the cross. Our surety goes on now. In 1 John, in chapter 1, in verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, that's all sin. Past, present, and future. For he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What you're saying here, if we say that we're above sin, if we say that this flesh is not sinful, and there are some who believe that, that you can reach a state of sinlessness in this world, deceived, and probably lost. But he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What's he telling us here? Every day of our life, Jesus Christ is the surety of our sins. We confess our sins. We must confess our sins. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you will confess your sins. And you'll not want to sin. But we dwell in a house of flesh. We dwell in a body that is sinful. It is not yet redeemed. But because of our surety, there's coming a time when the trump will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air, and this old mortality shall put on immortality, and this old corruption shall put on incorruption. Then we'll realize the fullness of our surety.
Amen.
Then we will sit before Him and we will be in His presence forever. Oh, we will go through the judgment seat of Christ and we will shed tears. Not for sin, but for our failure to serve Him as we ought. But He's going to wipe away those tears. And there will be no more tears after that. But He is our surety. He's our eternal surety. And this was settled, as we said, this was settled long before God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was settled. Our surety was settled. And as we go through this world, go through this life, we've come short, we fail, we're disobedient, and as we confess those sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins because He is our surety. Thank you.
Amen. What a blessing to